It's been about a year since Roland Wilson was confirmed to serve as the chief judge for New York's top court, so we wanted to explore what his impact has been to date on the state's Court of Appeals. To do that, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by Vin Bonventri, who's a professor with Albany Law School, author of the New York Court Watcher blog, and rumored to be the inspiration for the Legally Blonde series. Welcome back to the Capitol Press Room, Vin.
God, yeah, well, a legally brunette, maybe. But always great to be with you, David.
Glad to make the time. So for starters, I'm curious what you see as the potential for change by any chief judge in New York and the speed at which they can make, say, meaningful differences from their predecessors.
The governor, in appointing Rowan Wilson as the chief, made it pretty clear that she was hoping that he would help to restore the preeminence of the court. And he himself has been discussing that with others who have asked him. And the fact of the matter is that the court, previous to his elevation as chief judge, really had some difficult years under Chief Judge Janet DeFiore. And by difficult years, I mean the court's reputation really plummeted. The court was hardly hearing any cases. I mean, it was deciding between one half to one third of the cases it traditionally had been hearing. It was not protecting the rights of the accused as the court had traditionally done, not been protecting those who were innocently injured as the court traditionally has done. So, I mean, it was a pretty rough year. And with Wilson elevated as chief judge, the challenge for him was to turn the court around. And he didn't use that phraseology, but, you know, the legislature did in confirming him, the governor did, and many court watchers were using that same terminology. And we're actually seeing quite a bit of that already.
So yeah, it seems like one of the major powers that the state's chief judge has is considering the number and type of cases that the top court is going to consider. So what have we seen in terms of the number of cases that reach the Court of Appeals and get a hearing from the state's top judges?
David, you know, that's an interesting question because actually the chief judge is not the one that determines which cases the court will hear, but the chief judge can use their persuasive powers. And that's apparently what Rowan Wilson has done. So for example, the number of total cases that the court has heard since Wilson has been responsible for the calendar has increased by half again. It's increased by almost 50% from these very same months a year ago. And with regard to the criminal cases, the acceptance of the court for reviewing criminal cases has doubled since Rowan Wilson has become the chief. So the caseload, and particularly the criminal caseload at the court, has really, really increased. And not only that, the direction in which the court has been deciding these cases, again, whether we're talking about individuals who have been innocently injured or the rights of the accused, that has really changed.
Well, when it comes to criminal cases in particular, why does it matter if the state's top court is hearing more of these cases? Why shouldn't we be happy with the lower level courts being the final arbiter of these cases?
Sure, because the highest court in the state is the court that decides finally what the rule is in that state. This is especially true these past few decades when the United States Supreme Court has really been cutting back on the rights of the accused, which means that state courts, by and large, are free either to equally cut back on the rights of the accused or to continue to protect them or to protect them even more than they had been protected in the past. So the New York Court of Appeals, as one of the state high courts, really has the latitude to protect the rights of the accused much, much more than the United States Supreme Court has. And the court, you know, traditionally has done that. It wasn't doing that in the DeFiore era, but it seems as though the court is doing it again under Roe and Wilson.
Well, is it your sense then that the cases that are making their way up to the Court of Appeals warrant that final say from the state's top court? Are they really needed to weigh in on some of these issues? Or could an argument be made that they're meddling into cases that maybe don't need to be addressed, whether they've already been sort of settled, or whether they don't have maybe broader statewide implications?
I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you just look at the cases in which the court has been divided since Roe and Wilson has been chief, they involve bicycle stops, reasonable suspicion to stop an automobile, some ineffective counsel issues, warrantless entry issues, sexual offenders issues, rape shield issues, some extremely important cases, which the court just was not hearing previously, which is why that the bar has really been complaining during the DeFiore era, really been complaining that there were these important issues that really needed resolution, final resolution by the state's highest court. We're seeing that the court, the high court, is finally doing that. Now, I have to say, the court is not yet at the point that it was when Jonathan Lippman was chief. Jonathan Lippman also took over at a point where the court's reputation had really sunk a bit. The last few years, while Judith Kaye was chief, the court's reputation really wasn't doing too well. In fact, some of the chief justices of state courts around the country had volunteered to me that they were once again following the New York Court of Appeals now that Jonathan Lippman was chief. So he had a similar kind of problem taking over as chief judge as Rowan Wilson has taking over. That is to restore the preeminence and the reputation of the court. And chief judges, if they're smart enough, if they're personable enough, if they're persuadable enough, can go a long way to doing that.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining us. We're speaking with Vin Bonventri, a professor with Albany Law School and author of the New York Court Watcher blog. So you mentioned that the chief judge doesn't have direct prescribed power to influence the number of cases that they hear, but they do have what we call soft power in sort of the political science realm. And I'm curious how you see him using that soft power to influence decisions as well, because while he was on the court already, I have to imagine his ability to direct the court in its rulings has been increased now that he has a different position on the court.
Well, he has a different position on the court. He also has some different colleagues on the court. He now has Judge Shirley Troutman on the court. He has Judge Caitlin Halligan on the court. So, and then there's himself elevated to chief judge. So the composition of the court is somewhat different than it was during the DeFiore years. And as a result of that, let me give you one which I find pretty startling. Do you know that the former acting chief judge, Anthony Conotaro, while DeFiore was the chief judge, he was never in dissent. Never in dissent. He was always with DeFiore, right? And he was always in the majority of the court. During that, those several months where he was the acting chief judge, that is at the end of DeFiore's tenure and the beginning of Rowan Wilson's tenure, he dissented only once. So the entire time he was on the court, until Rowan Wilson became chief, he was only in dissent once. He has now been in dissent 11 times, including seven criminal cases. In those seven criminal cases, in all of them, these seven criminal cases, divided criminal cases, while Rowan Wilson has been chief, in all of them, the court ruled in favor of the defendant, in favor of the defendant, and Cannataro was on the other side. I'm not talking about who's right and wrong, wise or foolish. I'm just talking about how the court has changed. So you have a judge such as Cannataro, who was always in the majority, and now he's fairly regularly in the dissent.
And how about Judge Caitlin Halligan, who represents the new blood on the court?
And she's extraordinary, boy.
What makes you say that? What is it about either her votes or her writing that leads you to believe she's extraordinary?
Well, first of all, by reputation, anybody who has seen her argue in court, anybody who has read one of her briefs, anybody who has taken a look at her career thus far, clerking at the United States Supreme Court, Solicitor General, New York State, arguing many cases before the Supreme Court and the New York Court of Appeals. Everyone I know that I've ever spoken to, that is, lawyers or judges, have just spoken about how absolutely brilliant she is. Look, if she was on the United States Supreme Court, she would improve that court for crying out loud. She's really fantastic. And so Rowan Wilson, together with Halligan, those two very recent appointees of Governor Hochul, have really raised the caliber of the court.
Well, finally, on Thursday, April 25th, you're moderating a discussion that will include Chief Judge Rowan Wilson, who will discuss, among other things, what it means to be the state's top judge. I'm curious, when you're having a discussion with a sitting judge like Wilson, how close to the vest should he keep things, and how expansive would you
And,
want him to be?
look, he's he'll be there with former Chief Judge Jonathan Lippmann. And I've brought my students to the court and had them visit with each of those chief judges on different occasions. And when the class is with them, you don't get the company line like you do in public. When the judges speak publicly, they really have to be very close to the vest. They, by and large, give the company line. But when it's a more intimate setting, the judges open up. Lippmann was very, very big about opening up with my students. He was great. Now, this is going to be open to the community, this symposium, this discussion with Lippmann and Wilson. And I don't know, how willingly they will open up, but hey, look, I'm a professor with tenure. I intend to press them.
Well, on that note, we've been speaking with Vin Bonventri. He is a professor with Albany Law School and author of the New York Court Watcher blog. Vin, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.